This is Augustus and Tony Corbett, and you're listening to the Marriage Minutes Podcast,
where we use biblical principles to enhance marriages and eliminate divorces. For the next 30 minutes, get ready for lots of laughing, learning, and loving.
Hello and welcome to the Marriage Minutes Podcast with Tony and Augustus Corbett. Thank you for tuning in. How are you doing, sweetheart?
I am doing so well. How are you doing?
I am doing fabulous.
Wonderful.
I'm doing fabulous. So, when we left off from our discussion of submission, we were talking about, we raised the question of whether a wife should submit to a husband who's not loving her as Christ loved the church. Now, for those of you who haven't heard the first part of this message or discussion on submission, you need to go back. I would recommend that you go back and hear that first and then come to this part two, because one leads into part two. But in any event, that's where we left off with our first discussion, and that is, should a wife submit to a husband and that husband is not loving her the way Paul said a husband should love his wife in Ephesians chapter 5, I think verse 25 or so, right up in there, you know, where Paul says, love your wife as Christ loved the church and nurture her and sanctify her and cleanse her, all this lofty standard that he laid out there. And I talked about in part one how just challenging that is. I mean, to do something with the same excellence that Christ did something is a very tall order. But it's very necessary, because that's really what the wife is submitting to, the love that the husband is showing her, right?
Right.
So it's like heads and tails of the coin. You can't have one without the other. I don't want to preclude how you're going to answer this question, but I just want the audience who hasn't heard part one to know that I focused us in our discussion on submission. I conditioned it or focused us on the husband's responsibility to love his wife.
Right. And I appreciate that. And I'm sure our audience does too. Because as I said in part one, so many times you just hear the wife part of it. Wife submit, wife submit. But I'm so glad you brought out the scriptures say, husbands, love your wives, nourish her, protect her, cherish her, honor her.
Yes, that's right.
And then wives, you submit to that.
Yes. So then the question becomes, if he's not doing that, should the wife be submissive? So you got the floor.
Okay. Now I am going to go back to our foundational scripture in Ephesians 5, and then I will proceed to answer the question. But let's just go back, and I'm going to read it this time out of another translation. Last time, in part one, we read Ephesians 5, verses 21 through, I believe, like 32, 33, out of the Amplified. Today, I'm going to read Ephesians 5, verse 21, out of the Passion Translation.
Okay.
And it says, and out of your reverence for Christ, be supportive of each other in love. For wives, this means being devoted to your husbands like you are tenderly devoted to our Lord. For the husband provides leadership for the wife, just as Christ provides leadership for the church, for his church, as the savior and reviver of the body. In the same way the church is devoted to Christ, let the wives be devoted to their husbands. Now listen to this. Now this is what the scripture says, in everything.
Wow. Okay.
Verse 25, and to the husbands, you are to demonstrate love for your wives with the same tender devotion that Christ demonstrated to us, his bride. For he died for us, sacrificing himself to make us holy and pure, cleansing us through the showering of the pure water of the word of God. And last week, you know, you talked a lot about sacrificial love. Love is not love if it doesn't involve sacrifice. Verse 27, all that he does in us is designed to make us a mature church for his pleasure until we become a source of praise to him, glorious and radiant, beautiful and holy, without fault or flaw. Verse 28, husbands have the same obligation of loving and caring for their wives the same way they love and care for their own bodies. For to love your wife is to love your own self. Let me say that again. For to love your wife is to love your own self. No one abuses his own body, but pampers it, serving and satisfying its needs. That's exactly what Christ does for his church. He serves and satisfies us as members of his body. For this reason, a man is to leave his father and his mother and lovingly hold to his wife, since the two have become joined as one flesh. Marriage is the beautiful design of the Almighty, a great mystery of Christ and his church. So every married man should be gracious to his wife, just as he is gracious to himself, and every wife should be tenderly devoted to her husband.
Beautiful.
Isn't that beautiful?
And powerful.
Powerful. And you all, we said, now this is the ideal.
That's right.
But we know we live in a real world, and so many times we fall short of the ideal.
Well, now let me do something that I think will help us as you answer this question. And that is, let me offer a definition of the word submit. Okay? And the word submit is the Greek word hupotasso, hupotasso. And the word hupo means under. It's a Greek word that means under. And tasso means to arrange. And it's a military term. So having been in the military, I can conceptualize what this is saying. So in the military, you know, I was in the Navy, so you got the admirals, you got the commanders, you got the lieutenants, you got those commissioned officers, and then you have the non-commissioned officers, the chiefs and the master chiefs, the senior chiefs, the first class petty officers, second class, third class, blah, blah, blah. And so you have your rank, and the one who ranks under the other is said to be submitted to that person. So the word submit means to be ranked under someone, to be arranged under someone. So that's what the word means. The question is whether or not you should not only submit but obey your husband if he is not loving you the way Christ loved the church.
That's the question.
That's the question.
So thank you for that definition. Good minds think alike, because I was going to give some synonyms. I didn't look up the Greek, of course, but I was going to say, when I looked up some synonyms for yield, it means to defer, to adapt, like to come under, to modify, you know. all those types of questions. I mean, all those types of words. So I'm glad you brought that out. So now I'm going to answer the question, which is a great question, because so many times spouses may be in relationships where, and most of the time it would be the wife may be a Christ follower and the husband is not.
Well, suppose the husband is a Christ follower, but he's just not walking in that level of love.
Okay. Whichever situation you may find yourself in, turn with me to 1 Peter 3. I think this is a good place to start.
Okay.
1 Peter 3, and I'll be reading out of the Amplified, and we're going to read verses 1 through 7. 1 Peter 3, 1 through 7. I'm reading out of the Amplified. It says, in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, subordinate, not as inferior, but out of respect for the responsibilities entrusted to husbands and their accountability to God.
Wow. What translation is that?
This is Amplified.
That is awesome.
It's powerful. Yeah. Keep listening.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And so partnering with them. You know, we've always talked about our relationship as a partnership.
Mm-hmm.
So in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, subordinate, not as inferior. You're not like a second-class person in your marriage.
Right.
You're just subordinate, not as inferior, but out of respect. What? For the responsibilities entrusted to your husbands and their accountability to God.
Wow.
And so partnering with them.
Wow.
And so partnering with them, wives, you're partnering with your husbands so that even if some do not obey the word of God, they may be won over to Christ without discussion by the godly lives of their wives. Mm. That's all found in verse 1.
Mm.
Now, verse 2, when they see your modest, when your husbands see your modest and respectful behavior together with your devotion and appreciation, love your husband, encourage him, and enjoy him as a blessing from God. Your adornment must not be merely external with interweaving and elaborate knotting of the hair and wearing gold jewelry or being superficially preoccupied with dressing in expensive clothes, but let it be the inner beauty of the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality and unfading charm of a gentle and peaceful spirit. One that is calm and self-controlled, not over anxious, but serene and spiritually mature, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this way, in former times, the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, and adapting themselves to them, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, following him and having regard for him as head of their house, calling him Lord.
Wow.
And you have become her daughters if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear, that is, being respectful toward your husband, but not giving in to intimidation, nor allowing yourself to be led into sin, nor to be harmed. In the same way, you husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, with great gentleness and tact, and with an intelligent regard for the marriage relationship, as with someone physically weaker, since she is a woman. Show her honor and respect as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers, husbands, would not be hindered or ineffective.
Powerful.
Now, the word of God
is just the word of God.
It's the word of God, you all.
I mean, it's God speaking. Can't nobody frame things the way the word of God does.
I'm telling you, that's why at Salt Makers Church, we say, get in the word, study the word, because the word is the standard and it has life and it is spirit. Even as I read this, it's just speaking to me.
All right, so what is your answer?
So my answer is, should you obey your husband if he is not doing all of this idealistic, you know, nourishing you, cherishing you, honoring you, all of these wonderful things that the Bible talks about in mm-hmm. Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3? My answer is, it depends.
Wow. After reading all that scripture.
After reading all of that.
It depends. That sounds like a lawyerly answer.
Because you all, okay, we always have to interpret scripture with scripture.
Right.
We always have to have a context. There's a pretext, there's a context, there's a post-text. And we know overall, we are, if you are a believer in Christ, we are his children, right? So if your husband is beating you upside your head or threatening to harm you physically, you do not need to submit to that. I'm
Amen.
On the record.
Amen.
And my pastor, Pastor Corbett, is agreeing.
Absolutely.
He's my pastor.
Totally.
Okay. If your husband is, I'm going to say this. If he is in unrepentant, repetitive adultery relationships, you do not have to submit to that.
I mean, the scripture actually
says that. Right.
Yes.
Right. Now, if you do, you know, that's on you. I'm just saying what the scriptures says, you don't have to do that.
Amen.
If your husband is just emotionally abusive to you, and when I use the word emotional abuse, I'm talking about where he is really, you know and see, and your behavior is changing because you're feeling, your self-esteem is just so low because he's always putting you down and calling you out your name and you are not this and comparing you to someone else. And it's affecting, you know, your sleep pattern. It's affecting your ability to concentrate at work. It's just making you in an emotional wreck.
Yes.
I don't believe you need to submit to that.
Okay.
Now, if he's just perhaps not as spiritually mature as you are, but you got a good man, he's decent, you know, he's not running out on you, he works hard, he loves his children, he loves you.
Not beating you up.
He's not beating you up.
Not cheating on you.
Not cheating on you. Then I believe you need to submit.
And he's just not a perfect dude.
Well, no man is a perfect man, okay? But he may not just be where you would want him to be spiritually. You know, maybe he's not going to church every time you know, the door's open, or maybe he's not praying as long as you would like for him to pray, or, you know, whatever it is, it may be spiritually where he's not where you would want him to be. But overall, he's a good, decent man. You need to submit to him, in my opinion. Not just submit. You need to enjoy your husband. The Bible says enjoying your husband. If he likes football, if he likes golf, if he likes fishing, try to enjoy some of those things with him. You know, if he likes having sex 2-3 times a day, enjoy your husband. I believe you are supposed to submit to that. And you should joyfully submit to that. So that's the short and long of what I have to say. And I believe that as we...
Well, just do it like you're teaching a class. Just suppose, you know, the listeners are in your class. So, I mean, just take your liberty. You've been walking this out for over three decades. So you got a lot to say about this.
Right, right. So I would say so many times I think I've personally seen where women who are very spiritually mature and the husbands may not be where they are, I have seen them make the mistake of not enjoying their husbands, of beating him upside the head with the Bible, so to speak. Well, you ought to be like Brother so-and-so at church, or you ought to be like my pastor. No, don't do that foolishness. Your husband is not the pastor. Your husband is not the deacon if he's not a deacon. Enjoy your husband. And this is what the Bible keeps saying. Enjoy your own husband.
And you really don't know what they're like at home either.
Exactly. We don't know what anything, like, we don't know what is going on in folks' homes behind closed doors. So for one thing, the Bible says don't even compare.
That's right.
That's unwise.
Yep.
So do not compare your husband to anyone else's husband.
Yes.
The Bible says you adapt to your husband. Okay? As long as he's not trying to get you to do some foolishness that's outside of the word of God. Like nowadays, there's the thing going on with threesomes and going to strip clubs, you know.
Well, let's hold that off because we're going to do dedicate a whole podcast to pornography and sexual deviation and all of that. So let's save our punch for that particular podcast.
Okay.
But go ahead and directly answer the question of whether or not a wife should submit to a husband, for example, who wants her, say, to watch porn and then perform what's in the porn.
Okay. Now with that, I believe, first of all, I think porn can be very destructive in a relationship.
Can be, so it doesn't have to be? Is that what you're saying?
I think it is.
Okay. you left some wiggle room right there.
I think porn is destructive.
Yeah.
In a relationship. I just think it's a cheap way that the enemy is running rampage, you know, within the church and outside the church. Porn is just everywhere. It's on everybody. It's on folks' phones, on the iPads, on the computer.
But interestingly, you did say porn can be destructive. Why did you say can rather than it is? Do you think that there are some times where porn can be enjoyed by a couple or it's not destructive?
No. I think as believers, we need to stay away from pornography. Just point blank. Whether or not the wife and the husband both agree to watch porn, I don't think that's something we should be watching.
Okay.
Even if it's agreed upon.
All right.
Because
I'm just pointing out that it stood out to me when you said it can be.
Well, thank you for bringing that to my attention because I think that it's very destructive.
Okay.
I do.
All right. So we'll come back to that. But give me a direct answer on that question. If a husband says, I want us to watch porn, and you're supposed to submit to me, should she watch porn?
No.
All right. So let's suppose the husband says, as you pointed out, I want to do a threesome, and you're supposed to submit to me. I want to bring another woman or man or whatever, and you're supposed to submit to me. Is she supposed to do it?
No.
What about the husband says something, let's say the husband's trying to get his wife to break the law. And he says, you're supposed to submit to me. Should she do it?
No.
Okay. So are you saying then that a wife can be submissive to her husband without being obedient in certain circumstances?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I go back to my military days, right? I go back to my military days because we were not expected to do things that a superior told us to do that violated the Uniform Code of Military Justice or the civilian law. I mean, you just got to write me up. I'm not doing that. You just got to do what you need to do, but I'm not doing that. I respect you as my superior officer. You rank higher than me, but I'm willing to tell whoever's above you that I refuse to do that.
And I think that's the way we should do it, even in our marriage. If it's going to break the law or it's going to be causing us to be disobedient to Scripture. Definitely. What I've seen hasn't even been, in many cases, that extreme. Okay. It's just like women who are so, you know, they into the church and thank God for the church. We love the church. No one loves the church better than I do. I love church. I love going to church. I just love everything about, you know, just worshiping God and being with the saints. It's nothing like that.
Amen.
But I've seen women where they wouldn't cook for the husbands, you know, because they're always at church. They didn't have wanting to go to bed with the husbands because I guess they felt, I don't know, they were so holy or he was so unholy. I don't know what the attitude was there. But things like that just wouldn't enjoy the husband. You know, it's just like they're in the same house, but there's no coming together, enjoying one another, having extracurricular activities, you know, watching, just sitting down, watching a good movie together. Nothing like that going on. And I think we can so improve our marriages if we begin to even look at the small things that we can do to bring the husband and the wife together, even if one is unsaved or is not spiritually mature as the other.
So you're saying a wife who is not doing things in bed is not a submitted wife to her husband?
Mm-hmm.
All right, then does that mean that the wife should do whatever the husband asks her to do in bed in order to be submissive?
No, I wouldn't say that. I'm not going to get all into somebody's, you know, what they're doing in bed, because I believe that they should come in agreement with what type of sexual acts they have in their bedroom.
Well, but suppose there's no agreement. Okay, suppose he wants her to do something, and let's say it's not explicitly sinful. Let's say oral sex, okay? And he wants oral sex. There's no scripture, to my knowledge, that talks about oral sex one way or another, to my knowledge. But she's not about it. He wants it. Should she submit and do it or not?
I think they just need to work through that.
What does that mean?
That means he needs to let her know how important it is to him.
Okay.
And then she needs to let him know, she needs to come to a decision where if it's that important to you, no problem. You know, I'll do it. Or if she just really got a strong conviction not to do it, then they need to perhaps get some counseling or something.
Okay.
Because there is that conflict there that they haven't been able to resolve on their own.
Okay.
And I'm telling you, listeners, Pastor Corbin and I have counseled people, and that sexual thing is very, very important. And you need to come to some kind of resolution with it. But I can't sit here and tell a woman, you know, go on and give your man oral sex if she really has a strong conviction not to.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm certainly not trying to push you in that direction either. I know that some folks who hear this want some direct answers because they are currently in these situations. And, you know, just saying, well, just work through it, you know, is not going to answer their questions.
But let me just quickly say, we're not here to, marriages work. And there are times when you just have to work through a situation. If you want your marriage, then you've got to work through, hey, am I willing to submit and yield and have oral sex with my husband because it's important to him. I love him. He's a good, decent man. Or not. I mean, it's work. This is nothing easy. I heard one pastor say, when you get married, you really have signed up for a work permit. So you can't just want somebody else to come along and say, yes, you just do this. Because some of these things, like we said in part one, they are nuanced. I don't know your background. I don't know if you've been abused as a child and that's why you may have some issues with oral sex. I don't know that. So you as a husband and wife have to work through all of those nuances.
Okay. So what we're saying then, or what you're saying, and I'm in agreement with all that you've said, we've talked about this and we've worked through these things. We have counseled people on these things. So to simplify it, we are saying that a wife should not be pressured into doing something that violates scripture.
Definitely.
A wife should not be pressured or manipulated into something that violates the law.
Definitely.
And I'm hearing you say that a wife should not be pressured or manipulated into violating her conscience.
Right.
So can we kind of summarize it that way?
Right.
To be submissive does not require, in fact, not only does it not require, you should not violate the law, you should not violate scripture, and you should not violate your conscience.
Right. Now, I would say, and I want to throw this out, when we say conscience, you know, so many external things can affect our conscience. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Some people, you won't believe this, but I've listened to podcasts and some women, I heard this one woman say, you know, she was a virgin when she got married, so she didn't have all these experiences. And when you are brought up in a very legalistic church setting, you know, you don't do this until you get married, which is scripture. You don't have sex until you get married.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes that can even cause you to have, you know, just a negative mindset about sex to when you do get married. And it's the beautiful thing that God has given you and your husband. You still got hangups. So is that your conscience? Or is that just the way you have processed being brought up so legalistic? So I'm just saying, you just have to really go deep and see, well, why do I feel like this? Is this really the Holy Spirit? Or is this really just the way I was brought up and the way I have internalized sex, you know, thinking that sex is dirty? If you have been thinking sex is dirty from the time you were a child until you get married, say 30 or something, and then all of a sudden just expect that to be gone, it may not be. And you may have to work through that.
Okay.
So I'm just saying it's work. You have to put in the work.
Okay.
Does that make any sense?
It does. It does make sense. Absolutely. It makes a whole lot of sense. I think it's very wise counsel. Extremely wise counsel. I can hear women saying that yes, my husband want me to do this or that in bed. And I'm just not comfortable doing it. I don't want to do that. So we would say, first of all, not only should you not feel comfortable, but you shouldn't do anything that violates the law, or the word of God, number one, and the law, number two. All right, that's that's clear.
That's very clear.
That's clear right there. But suppose there's no law and there's no scripture. It's just a conviction or your conscience or something that just, for whatever reason, makes you feel icky about it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm hearing you say that that wife should dig deep. Try to unpeel layers and get to why she's feeling this way.
Exactly. What is the root of it?
What is?
And I think while she's doing that, I think it's the obligation of the husband to be very understanding. And again, self-sacrificing. Well, honey, if you don't feel comfortable, then we won't do that now. Or, you know, I know I want this, but let's just try to work through it. And I'm here to work through it with you. I think that's his responsibility as well.
Okay.
It has to be a partnership.
That's why you keep saying working it out together.
Exactly. You have to work that out together. You love each other. You're committed to one another. You want to have a great marriage. It's just this thing, you know, whatever he may want and you feel icky about it. Well, why do I feel icky? Ask those hard questions.
All right. And so let's say the work is done, you know, peel back layers and maybe even talk to some professionals or what have you. And she still comes back and says, I just don't like that.
Well, then I think if it comes back to that, this would be my thing to the husband. Well, then I think you might need to try to just honor that.
Yes, I do too. I agree with that. Because, in fact, the scripture says so, right? The scripture says, in fact, let me find it. You know, it talks about someone with the weaker conscience.
Right.
Let me see if I can find it.
Yeah, I know exactly. It's in Corinthians somewhere, I believe, or Romans. Yes. And the other thing, as you're finding that, for husbands and wives to keep in mind, the scriptures also say, you know, that our body doesn't belong to us. You know, we know our bodies is the temple of the Holy Spirit, but once we get married, it also talks about how we are to share in one another's bodies. So even sometimes when you are tired and wife, you know, if you are a working wife and you come home and you're tired, you still, you know, should submit, in my opinion, to your husband. And then likewise, sometimes the husband should understand, okay, if you're tired, no problem. So there should just be some consideration of each other. That's the way I see this working out, if you're going to do it the Bible way. Because love is sacrificial. You know, you spend a lot of time in part one speaking on that.
That's good. That's good, sweetheart. That's really good. You're really laying out some wisdom here, okay? Some serious, serious wisdom that I think would greatly benefit, you know, Christian women and husbands, right?
Right.
So, you know, if there can be a meeting of the minds, number one, it doesn't violate scripture, doesn't violate the law, but there are some deep convictions against or for something, then try to work it out. both be considerate of the other.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And most of those kinds of issues, you can get through them. You can work through them.
Right.
Right? And now I believe we have seen marriages, Tony, that failed because they couldn't work out those kinds of issues.
Yes, we have, unfortunately.
Yeah, we have seen marriages like that, where the wife refused to do certain things, husbands were unfulfilled and unsatisfied sexually, and ultimately it ended up, you know, breaking up the marriage. That doesn't have to happen, but it does happen.
Right.
Which is why, as you've said, we need to, couples need to really, really, really try to work through that.
Right.
Because sex is a big thing for a man.
It's a big thing.
And it's a need.
You know, we're going to talk about that when we do the podcast on pornography and all, but no, it's a very big thing. I think I found the scripture.
Okay.
Look at 1 Corinthians 8, where you're talking about the weaker conscience.
Mm-hmm.
1 Corinthians 8. You all were talking about if the wife is saying that she does not feel comfortable performing a certain type of sexual act.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. 1 Corinthians 8. Let me see what the Amplified says. Okay, this says, now, about food sacrifice to idols, we know that we all have knowledge concerning this. Knowledge alone makes...
What verse are you in?
I'm starting at verse 1. And then I'll go on until we get verse 1. Okay. And I'm in an Amplified. Now, about food sacrificed to idols, we know that we all have knowledge concerning this. Knowledge alone makes people self-righteously arrogant, but love that unselfishly seeks the best for others. And that's what we talked about. Love always seeks the best for others. It builds up and encourages others to grow in wisdom. If anyone imagines that he knows and understands anything of divine matters without love, he has not yet known as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God with awe-filled reverence, obedience, and gratitude, he is known by him as his very own and is greatly loved. Okay, now this is when it's going to begin, I think, to talk about the weaker conscience. In this matter, then, of eating food offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world. It has no real existence and that there is no God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, who is the source of all things and we exist for him. Let me just try to skip on down. Okay, verse 7. However, not all believers have this knowledge, but some, being accustomed throughout their lives to thinking of the idol until now as real and living, still eat food as if it were sacrificed to an idol. And because their conscience is weak, it is defiled, guilty, ashamed. Now, food would not commend us to God, nor bring us close to him. We are no worse off if we do not eat, nor are we better if we do eat. Only be careful that this liberty of yours, this power to choose, does not somehow become a stumbling block, that is, a temptation to sin to the weak in conscience.
Okay. I mean, I think that says it. I think that says it. Paul says we know that food sacrificed to idols is just food. You know, it's, you know, really no big deal. But the other person may feel different.
Mm-hmm.
and really have a serious issue with it.
Right.
And if that's the case, then because you have that liberty and you're not convicted by eating the food, don't force the other person who is convicted by that, don't force them to do it, because then you injure their conscience and you cause them to sin.
Right.
So that's what we're saying, all right? So if it's something that violates the law, don't do it. If it violates scripture, don't do it. If it violates your conscience and you're not able to work through it, you know, as my wife said, husbands, back up, right?
Right.
And because if you force that, then you're going to call you. That's going to become a stumbling block. You're going to injure your wife's conscience, and you're going to cause her to sin.
Right.
And you don't want to be the person who causes your wife to sin in some area. So just back away from it, and let her come along.
Right.
At her pace.
At her pace.
You know, now make sure it is not something that you shouldn't be doing or wanting to do either, husband, just because it's not illegal or it's not violation of scripture. Sometimes things can still be such that the Holy Spirit says, I still don't want you doing that.
Right. I agree with that.
And she may be hearing the Holy Spirit and you may not be.
Right.
Because you want this so bad. So husbands, you need to check to see is your conscience a little bit seared in this area? And is it that your wife is really hearing clearer, hearing God clearer on this? Because, you know, your liberty may get you in trouble. And her conviction may really be the Lord.
Right. And that's why it has to be just worked out. It really does. And let me say, for those who are not married yet, and you are dating and seriously thinking about getting married.
This ought not even be an issue for them, because they shouldn't be having sex, period.
No, but they should be talking about it. This is what I'm about to say. They should be discussing this pre-marriage.
Yeah.
So that everybody's on the same page.
Very true.
Once they get married.
Yeah.
Because another thing, people act like, you know, we say, yeah, you shouldn't be having sex. Of course you should not, but you should be discussing, you know, what are your limitations when we do get married and we have the freedom to love each other in a sexual way.
That's very true.
I strongly believe that.
That's very true. I mean, it's what we counsel couples to do.
Right.
You know, to talk it out.
Talk it out.
Beforehand, before
you. Because you all, just to be honest, real talk is real talk. This is a sex-crazed world that we live in. We're not of the world, but we live in this world. And I'm telling you, men and women are doing some every kind of witchy thing. When it comes to sex.
Yeah.
And so we who are followers of Christ, we have to constantly keep our minds renewed and resist this sex-crazed world and enjoy sex the way God would have us to enjoy it.
Yeah. See, that's a whole nother discussion.
It is. And we'll do a whole nother podcast.
What all that just means, what you just said. You know, what does God approve sexually? Because there isn't a lot. You know, there are several very obvious things that the Lord speaks against, right? Homosexuality, lesbianism, men with men, women with women, bestiality, pedophilia, all that stuff is clearly outlawed.
Right.
But there are some things that are not clearly outlawed in the word, like oral sex.
Right.
That still can become touchy in marriage. And your counsel that people should talk it out first is very wise counsel. All right, so this is where we will stop here. We have had two parts on this submission thing, sweetheart, two parts. And I still don't feel that we have really covered it as much as I like to. You know, as a teacher, I like to really get right. into something.
Right. Yes, we haven't. I mean, I can remember I've done a year's worth of teaching on submission.
Exactly.
So, yeah, we haven't even scratched the surface. But we just wanted to jump on here and, you know, just share about submission.
Well, briefly before we end, why do you think women are so, or many women are so, you know, against submission? I mean, that a lot of women who didn't say grow up in church or whatnot, you mentioned the word submission, it's like you just cursed.
Because I think they have seen, so many abuses with men and talking about submission. I think some of it goes back to just Adam and Eve, you know, the whole thing in the garden. I just think we as women have to be careful and mindful that if we are in a marriage situation, that we are not the head of our households.
See, even that's controversial.
That's very controversial.
I mean, when you said it, I can feel the reaction.
I know. I could too.
What is she talking about?
What is she talking about? I'm not the head.
I'm not the head of my household. He's the head of my household. That sounds like something back in the Stone Age.
Well, we've read the scriptures. And that's not to say in the scriptures elaborated, that doesn't mean that you're inferior. That means that God is going to hold your husband responsible for what goes on in your house.
That's right.
That's what that means. So it should exactly take pressure off the woman.
Exactly.
Off the wife.
Yep.
I mean, so it should not hit us like slapping us upside the head.
Yes. Because
it's a beautiful thing if it's done, and we read those scriptures, if it's done the way God arranged it to be done, it's a beautiful situation.
It is. It's a lot of work, though, for
it
men.
Is work.
For husbands especially. Because, as you just said, the responsibility of that marriage is on their husband. The responsibility of that family is on their husband. He's the provider. He's the protector. He is the one who is, you know, responsible for raising the godly children. He's the one, I mean, so much is on him. And so if he's doing all that right, like we said in part one of this discussion on submission, it creates an environment that makes submission very easy for the wife. It's just that we live in a culture that is antichrist, anti-biblical.
Yes.
And so you hear these things, you know, submit to your wives, husbands, and husbands submit to wives. But, you know, you hear these things and folks just react strongly to this negatively. Right.
Right.
And, you know, I don't want to hear what you got. I don't want to hear what the Bible says. That's old fashioned. That's what my grandma and them did. That's what they talked about back then, way back. Y'all just old, you know, y'all just trying to, you know, come up, get caught up with the rest of the world. No, that's exactly what we don't want to do as Christians. We exactly. are believers. We are Christians. And Paul tells us to not be conformed to this world.
That's right.
But be transformed. And before I can even finish that scripture, I can hear somebody saying, now he just quoting scripture so she can submit to him. But you're not hearing all that we're saying. We're saying that it's really more on me as the husband to create the environment for her to feel very safe and very empowered and very comfortable to submit to me. And if you go back and listen to part one, we already said that husbands should submit to their wives too.
Right. Yes. So listen to part one and two.
Exactly. All right. It has been good. Thank you so much for all the wisdom that poured out of you. It was just tremendous. Thank you, really. I think this is going to benefit a lot of people.
I hope so. I hope so. If we see the need to come back with a part three, we will.
Absolutely. And one of the ways that we can do that is if you got questions.
Yes.
If you got questions, then just send them to us. Let me see how to do that. We'll put an email link in the write-up on the podcast. Okay.
What about the Salt Makers email?
Yeah. So
is it info at Pastor Corbett?
info@saltmakers.org. info@saltmakers.org. If you got some questions, we would love to answer those questions.
Definitely, because we want this to be helpful. We are practical teachers, and we want to help you in your practical day-to-day life. So please email us, and if you want to, you know, remain anonymous as much as possible, that's fine too.
Amen. Thank you again. We're out of here. Love you.
Bye. Love you.